السلام عليكم. Good afternoon for all of you. Well, I'm Salib Shawamri. I born in old city of Jerusalem. My family has been forced to leave our village Amishagaf in 1948 because it is one of the 530 villages demolished by Israeli Haganah that time. So they moved and they lived in old city of Jerusalem. For another time, my family forced to leave old city of Jerusalem after the 6 days war, 1967, to a camp called Shefat refugees camp. That time we are 5 brothers and 5 sisters. We have given a room which is about 3.5 meters by 6 meters. I graduated from a vocational training center in Jordan, in Jerusalem, as a construction technician supervisor. Then I went to Saudi Arabia and worked there. I worked there 10 years. Then when I come back to my family home in the refugee camp, I saw that it's already overcrowded by people, my brothers, my sisters, and their daughters and sons. And I'm the hero who works in Saudi Arabia and has the money. So I have to find me a place outside the camp. I bought a small piece of land from a Palestinian, registered in his name, in Anata, which is very near to the camp. And like anybody in the world, I applied to get a building permit from the Israeli authorities. From 1990 until 1994, I applied 3 times to get the building permit. But all the time, it has been refused by the Israeli authorities. First time, they told me, we can't give you the building permit because your land is outside the zoning and planning of the village. I don't know if you enter to our villages around Jerusalem or in the West Bank, you will see that it has a very narrow roads, 3.5 meter width, designed by Turkish government for 100 years. So what is the zoning and planning they are talking about? It's only a reason thrown to us as Palestinians not to give us the building permit. And I think the goal of that, to push us inside the villages and the cities, not to expand in the land. So the land will be empty for the occupation purposes, to build a military sites, or to expand in a settlement, or build new settlement, or open a bypass road. So the land will be empty for them, for the occupation government. And they told me, look, your land is an agricultural area. Apply as it is an agricultural area. If you come there and saw, I think a lot of people saw the site there, it's rocky area, never planted since Adam until now. But they put it under this item to make it more complex to us to get building permits and build on this land. But I apply for the second time. I wait another 1.5 year. Then they told me at the end, we can't give you the building permit because this is new, because your land has a big slope or a steepy land. Well, all of you know that Jerusalem is located on mountains, and every mountain should have a slope. But in our case, you know, as Palestinians, you know, this law prevented us from building or having a building permit. They forget that the bulldozers is not manufactured only for demolition. I can use it to make my land flat. You see? Really, I went to the civil administration office and I told the officer there, look here, I know that I will not get any building permit from you. I will build a home and the God will help me after that. He said to me, apply for the third time, and for sure you will get the building permit. And every time you apply, it costs you more than $5,000. I apply for the third time. I wait another 1.5 year. Then they told me, we can't give you the building permit because this is the third because. You missed 2 signatures of the ownership of the land. Well, when I bought the land, I stamped it from the Interior Ministry, Israeli Interior Ministry. I stamped it from the civil administration office itself that it's legal. But as you can see, to apply to get a building permit, throwing to us as Palestinians any reasons not to give us the building permit. From my view as a Palestinian, it's a bush to us to build without the building permit. Then, when you start building your home without getting the building permit, they came to you as heroes, having the law in their hands, and you are the bad guy, you are the criminal guy who start building his home without getting a building permit. If all the media of the world focus on you while they are demolishing your home, you will not be with Salim Shawamri, because here you can't allow anybody start building his home without getting a building permit. I am against anybody start building his home in London without getting a building permit, because all the rules here constructed to serve him and serve his community. If you want to be outside his community and start building where he want, then what he did has to be demolished, because the rules for him and for others. But we are living as Palestinians, we are living under the occupation, and the occupation construct a Kafkaesque system not to give us as Palestinians the building permit. Then when they come and demolish your home, you will not see the reality until you come there and see on the ground what's happening. But you know, in 1994, when Palestinians and Israelis signed Oslo, I think, okay, peace is coming. So I start building my home in 1994, living inside with my 6 kids and my wife until the black date in my life and in my family life, which is 9th of July, 1998. After more than 4 years, while I'm sitting with my family eating our lunch in the afternoon, I heard a big voice outside the home. I get out to see. I saw my home surrounded by soldiers. More than 300 soldiers came and surround the house, surround the area around the home. And the leader of the soldiers asked me if this is my home. I said to him, yes, it's my home. He said to me, it's not your home now. You have 15 minutes to take your belongings and family out because we want to demolish this house. He said to me that. I push him outside the door. He's surrounded by soldiers. They start kicking me on my back, on my head, and they arrest me, and they put me on the side. My wife, Arabia, she closed the door. Then they start breaking the windows, throwing inside a tear gas to force my 6 kids and my wife get out of the home. My wife that day, she lost her consciousness and they took her to hospital. And my kids screaming and crying, and I'm freezing to the ground, arrested, can't do anything to them. A lot of our neighbors, they came to help, but it didn't help. Israeli Committee Against House Demolition, ICAD, that day they came with 2 Israeli buses from the peace movement people. They kick them as they kick us also. Then they start taking the furniture and throw it to the street outside the home. Imagine your special things, your wife, your daughter's special things, you know, inside their bedrooms. It's on the street now. Then the bulldozer start demolishing the home, cutting 52 trees I planted around the home. I made it an agricultural area by bringing 20 trucks of soil and put it around the home to plant 52 trees. They cut it all. Even at the corner of the home, I have a sheeting house. There was doves, rabbits, ducks inside that sheeting house. They went with the bulldozer and they destroy it. Then you look at the end, you see just death around us. Doves, ducks, trees, everything died around us. 7 people that day from our neighbors, they get injured. One of them, he is 16 years old. He lost his kidney and part of his stomach because of a direct rubber bullet came to him. And now he's in a good health. The Red Cross came to us. They gave us a tent. Then we live in a tent behind the ruins of the house. Next day, ICAD, they came to us, and all of us suggested that we have to rebuild the home again as a resistance to occupation. And really we started, we cleaned the ruins, and we start rebuilding the home for the second time as a resistance to occupation. Hundreds of Israelis, Palestinians, and internationals share us in the rebuilding, and we finish the home on 2nd of August 1998 as a shell building. It took us about 20 days to make the shell of the building. But it didn't take a long time. 3rd of August 1998, at 4 o'clock in the morning, we open our eyes in the tent to see machine guns pointing to our faces not to move. The area surrounded again by hundreds of soldiers, and the bulldozer came up and demolished the home for the second time over the scaffolding, over the sheeting. It's a fresh concrete, only one night old. What left from trees, they cut it. Even the tent, which given to us by the Red Cross, they took it. They left us with nothing under the sun. As a Palestinian, if you want to live in a tent in your native land, you need to get a permit from the Israeli authorities. And now what to do? I'm trying to have a home like you, like anybody in the world. My family refugee. My village became part of Israel since 1948. Living in a camp. And then when I get some money to have a home, no, it's forbidden to you as a Palestinian to get a home. Be a refugee again. You know, because of the struggle we made, because of the media which focus on our problem, the civil administration office write an article in Haaretz newspaper, it's an Israeli newspaper, that we demolish his home because he missed 2 signatures of the ownership of the land. If he brought that 2 missing signatures, we will give him the building permit. We read that in the newspaper. Then I send a lawyer to see which 2 names they want so I can bring their signatures. And you don't believe. 3 months, the lawyer going and coming to the civil administration office, but nobody gave him anything. Then what I did, Anata, the village which I'm building my home in, Anata is a small village, and everyone owns land in Anata. I let him sign on a paper that he has no problem if I build on this piece of land. I get more than 400 signatures. Then I went to the civil administration office and I put that signatures on the officer table. I told him, look here, this is all Anata on your table. Pick the signatures you missed. You don't believe what he said. We lost the file. We don't know the names. From here, you can see that. If you went through any of the reasons which thrown to us not to give us a building permit, you will see that they don't know anything about it. It's very clear. That's why I start building my home for the third time. Also, hundreds of volunteers, Israelis, Palestinians, internationals, sharing us in the rebuilding. And we finish it on 9th of July, 1999, after 1 year from the first demolition. And that day we made a huge party, Israelis, Palestinians, internationals. That day we gave a very clear message to the Israeli government. Here we are together, working together, refusing to be enemies. You know, we finished the party. 1 day, 1 week, 1 month after, nobody came to demolish the home. Then I start finishing inside the home. You know, electricity, plumbing, plastering, tiles, until I finish the home on 3rd of April 2001. And we move, me and my family, we move to the home again. And we slept that night inside the home. But again, it didn't take a long time. 4th of April 2001, next day, at 8 o'clock in the morning, the civil administration office with its soldiers came and surround the area again. And this time they came not with one bulldozer, they came with two bulldozers, one to demolish the home and the other one to break the foundations which we are using all the time in the rebuilding. They surround the area and they start taking the furniture again from the home and throw it outside to the street. Then the bulldozer start demolishing the home and the jackhammer break the foundations. They left us with nothing again. I don't have another place to go. I have to be there in a tent, but they are not allowing me in home. They are not allowing me what to do. And the problem, the biggest problem inside this is the family. When my kids came from school in the afternoon, there was no home. The home demolished again. From my view, it's not only a home demolition, it's a family demolition inside that. My wife, Arabia, I send her to Jordan for 1 month for a physical treatment. We are talking to her. She was listening to us, but not answering us for anything. My daughter, Lamia, when the Israeli helicopter is shooting rockets to Palestinian police stations. We are living very near to Ramallah. Until now, we are living there in that renting apartment. She can't stand on her legs, having very much pain in her stomach. I am behind her. I told her, don't worry. They are not shooting to us. They are shooting far away. I'm behind you. I will protect you. You don't believe what she said to me. How can you protect me? I saw the soldiers, what they did to you when they demolished our home. If your daughter didn't believe that you can protect her, who will protect her in the world? My daughter Wafa, she was 11 years old. When she saw a tank coming nearby the home, she went blind. She can't see. I took her to Jerusalem, to a specialized clinic. When we entered to the clinic, she became normal again. I asked the doctor what happened to her. He said to me, her brain refused to see that view. And if she didn't become normal alone, no medicine in the world can help her to be normal. My human rights and 25,000 Palestinian families have the same experience I have since 1967. Our human rights has been violated with this Israeli occupation government. My son Muhammad, he was 6 years old. We searched him after the demolition, we didn't find him. I searched him with the neighbors, I didn't find him. Searched him with my family in the camp, he's not there. After 8 hours from the demolition, we find him sleeping and laying between two rocks in the valley. Who's accepting a thing like this? I'm trying to have a home like you and like anybody in the world, but I can't do it. I can't have it. The goal of the occupation, they want to evacuate us from the land, but I'm there. That's why I start building my home for the fourth time. And with the help of ICAD and others from internationals and peace movement people. And while we are making plastering in 2003 for the home, they come also and they surround the area again and they knock it for the fourth time. Then we sit together with ICAD, Israeli Committee Against Home Demolition, and we suggest that we have to rebuild the home again, but not as a home, as a peace center. And really we start rebuilding the home as a peace center in 2003, July 2003. That rebuilding has been donated by 500 churches from Minnesota, America, and they send their people to the home as volunteers, and we rebuild it, and that's the first summer camp for ICAD which happened there. We rebuild the home as a peace center. We rebuild it and call it Beit Arabiya, or Arabiya's house. My wife's name is Arabiya, so we call it Beit Arabiya. And we rebuild it in the memorial of the death of Rachel Khoury and Noha Swedan. Rachel Khoury, the American activist who died in Gaza while she was defending a Palestinian home from demolition. They went over her with the bulldozer and they killed her. And Noha Swedan, a Palestinian woman, she was a mother of 10 kids. And she died inside her home when they demolished her neighbor's house. One of the elevations falls on her inside her home and she died inside her home. Since that time, since July 2003, we are using the home as a place which we can meet together, Palestinians, Israelis, internationals, strategizing to get better situation for the both nations who's living there, Palestinians and Israelis. Every year, we are making a summer camp there in July. Internationals coming and chairing us in the rebuilding in July. At least we get every year 30 of volunteers from all over the world. And we rebuild one or two Palestinians' houses which has been demolished, and the reason is the building permit. ICAD rebuilt more than 170 houses in East Jerusalem and in the West Bank since that date. Most of the houses, let's say more than 95% of these houses, still stands and people are living in. Palestinians' families. But still, as we said at the early beginning, more than 25,000 Palestinians' families, you know, get their home demolished. It means that if you multiply this by 6 or 7 in every family, you will get tens of thousands of people are homeless because of this policy. The Israeli occupation government took me to the court again for this peace center, and in 2009 they gave me a demolition order for this peace center also. And not only a and the demolition will be in condition, I have to demolish it by my hands or they will send bulldozers to demolish, and I have to pay it's the receipt for the bulldozers. You know, I didn't care for their things. Then after 8 months from that order, the soldiers came, and the police came to my apartment where I'm living in Kfar Aqab, which is very near to Ramallah, and tried to take my furniture and sell it in the apartment and sell it. So because I own to the Israeli government 8,000 shekels, which is about $2,200. I said, from where this? They said, it's the lawyer. You lose the case, and this is the lawyer receipt. You have to pay it. Then, you know, after big negotiations, they gave me 2 days to pay this money, or they will come and take my furniture where I'm living in the apartment and sell it to cover that that receipt. You know, I pay them that $2,200. But still, the home, Beit Arabiya, the Peace Center, still threatened by demolition. We don't know when they will come and demolish it. Maybe they will come, maybe not. And we don't have to forget that thousands of demolition orders settled or has been over the Palestinians' houses, and the people are living the fear. Maybe they will come and demolish today or tomorrow or after 1 month or after 1 year. Nobody knows. Imagine the fear that the people living in, you know, with this situation. You are very important to us. We need your help. You are without you, we can't rebuild the Palestinians' houses. Without the internationals who came every year to Arabiya's house and have that house as their house for 2 weeks, without them we can't rebuild the houses, because they come to us and they will arrest us, or maybe they will shoot us straight ahead. But as soon as you are around us, I think it's a big protection to Palestinians to continue their non-violent struggle against this military government, military occupation government. Thank you very much again for hearing me. And anybody want to ask questions, it will be appreciated. Thank you.
I visited Beit Arabiya in 2008, and I thank you for your hospitality then.
Thank you
for you. How is your family faring these days? How is your family?
You know, I want to talk in general. All Palestinians' families has a very bad situation, you know. I don't know, everywhere, when happened any problem in the world, Palestinians has to pay the price for that. Imagine that just before 2 weeks when Eilat attacked by some soldiers or some people in attacked Eilat, Palestinians paid the price in Gaza by bombing Gaza, and paid the price in the West Bank by arresting the people. More than 1,500 Palestinian people has been arrested in the West Bank by the Israeli soldiers. So we are paying the price for anything. The situation in Israel is very bad, and they are going out for the housing and for the high rate of living. You know, they need extra in their salaries, while we are maybe 10% of their salaries we are getting in the West Bank. And, you know, we are living, and their life is very high, and it's not enough. What about our life, which is not coming to 20% of their income in Palestine? It's a very bad situation. Very bad. You can't find the work, especially the young generations, you know. There is no work for them. I hope that they will not run away and find a way to get out of the country and find another place, because, you know, it's very, very hard to you as a guy being 30 years old, and you ask your father to give you a pocket money, you know. It's a shame on you, you know. So our life is very bad. My family is like the others, you know, having the same situation, living under the occupation until now. Full occupation, I mean.
Can you give us some idea about how easy or difficult it is for you to leave Israel, Palestine, and to go back home? Do the authorities make it difficult for you to travel?
You know, I'm a Palestinian who lives in East Jerusalem, have a Jerusalem ID, so I have a travel document. I can travel through Ben Gurion. You can see this is my travel document. It's Israeli travel document. I'm a Palestinian having this Israeli travel document. Inside, my nationality is a Jordanian. So it's, and all these Palestinians who's living in East Jerusalem having this, it's Palestinians having a travel document. Inside your nationality is a Jordanian. Then when you enter to any airport, when I come to England here, there is a code written your nationality. What to write? Jordanian. Then when he saw the Israeli passport, how come you are Jordanian and having an Israeli passport? And they asked me one time this, you see. So they are allowing us to get through Ben Gurion, but I have to go to Ben Gurion before five hours from the aeroplane getting off. And I have been before 4.5 hours. I stay in the airport under shaking, you know, up to what left is 15 minutes to the aeroplane to get off. Then they release me. Then I run away in this 15 minutes, you know, to catch the plane and get to the gate and go. You know, it's a very hard treating. Where are you going? What do you want to do? Who you want to meet? With whom you want to sleep? You know, have all these questions and returning back and asking it again, returning back and asking it again. And the same when we go back. Also, it's the same, you know.
Thank you. First, I'd just like to say what a fantastic story of resistance. And I'm sure I speak for everybody when I say
thank you.
Amazing story. Thank you very much. I was struck by a phrase that you just said, and it went away very quickly. But it was a very powerful phrase, and I'd like you to say a bit more about it. You said, refusing to be enemies, talking about the Israeli and Palestinians working together. Yeah. Would you tell us a little bit more about refusing to be enemies, please?
All right. Thank you. You know, the reality that I can't start building my home again and alone, you know. So when Israelis coming to you and say, I'm with you, I'm on your side, what do you want to do? I'm with you. Then I think this thing giving us a very big support as a Palestinians, especially it's from the other side, which, you know, it's the enemy. In Israeli governments, in all the years, they are planting the fear in their public, you know. All the Israeli governments planting the fear in their publics. Don't go to the Palestinians. Don't enter to Palestinian cities. Any Palestinian city you want to enter, and I think a lot of people, they saw that. There is a big sign at the entrance of any Palestinian city. Written on it, it's danger, forbidden to any Israeli to enter to Area A, which is the Palestinian cities. And they are planting the fear in their publics not to let cooperation between the two nations together, not to let them sit and live together. They don't want to see that. They want to let their community all the time afraid, all the time, you know, ready for a war, ready for from Palestinians or from others. So be careful. Your security. The security is the biggest thing they have there. And Israeli leaders, they are working on this security all the time, blending the fear. But what we have, this quality of people, I mean, the Israelis who refuse to be as their governments want, they enter to Palestinians and start, you know, helping Palestinians, especially Palestinians who has you know, their olive trees around the settlements. The settlers, they didn't allow them to pick their olives. So a lot of Israelis going and picking these olives and giving it to the Palestinians ready. Houses, when the Israeli occupation government came and demolished a house, straight ahead they came, start cleaning the ruins, and with volunteers start rebuilding the home for another time, saying that these people has the right to live on their native land. Or you give them building permits, or we will rebuild this again to them and without asking a building permit from you. It's a non-violence resistance even for the establishments of the Israeli military establishments, you know. So when we see these people coming to you and trying to be like you, helping you in anything you want your independence, I'm with you. You want to go to New York, you want to get your state, your independence, okay, we will work on this. Like ICAD, it's working on this. ICAD UK is working on this. And hundreds of, establishments working on this. And a lot of Jewish people working also on this. So these kind of people, I think we appreciate what they are doing. And we refuse to be enemies with them. Thank you.
Thank you. In recent weeks, there's been the tented city in Tel Aviv of young people rising up in opposition to their own government. Now, most of their agenda seems to be about their own situation, where they also now don't have many opportunities, and they have quite bravely said it's because of the occupation. So there's sort of another stream of influence that might be beginning, and I just wondered if there's any more news about that and whether there's any tie-up between what they're doing and what you're trying to do.
Are you able, did you understand that to answer it? I'll just help answer that question. It's true that this summer we saw hundreds of thousands of Israelis, mainly from the middle class, getting out in the streets, starting by putting tents in Tel Aviv. It's gone into Jerusalem and into other cities in Israel. So these are middle class Jewish Israelis that say, we don't like the lack of services, increasing lack of services for Israeli citizens. They say, especially during Netanyahu's government, he came in with Thatcherite policies, and it's the tycoons become very rich. So this is a middle class objecting to their government. What's happened is that there are some of these Israelis who've questioned why it's happening. They're going a little deeper. They did not want to be political to begin with, but they're being pushed. They've now set up a committee which represents these protesters. Apparently, Netanyahu has also set up a committee to look at what's happening, and these two committees are supposed to meet. Now, we realize that this is Netanyahu being pushed. He doesn't want to be pushed. He doesn't, want to be accountable. But if the pressure can continue, it could be a good thing. There are people who have said over the years, what is the future of Israel? Can it sustain itself? The whole situation is so unjust, and injustice doesn't sustain itself. Whether they will ask this question, whether they will, as Salim referred to the fact, that a high percentage of the Israeli budget goes to maintaining the occupation, and how long can you continue with that, and how long can you continue sending your young people to serve in the IDF and doing all these immoral actions, which does affect your soul. It affects your whole being. So it is something to watch. I don't know if anybody else has an update from the last few days, but it's some movement. There is potential, but who knows?
But one of the other side effects of, or one of the other effects of this has been that Israel has just signed papers for thousands of other houses to be built for Israelis in the occupied West Bank, in the settlements, to expand those and to build new settlements. So on top of the 500,000 Israeli settlers who are there illegally already, they're planning to send more in huge numbers.
Yes, and that's right. There are the, thanks for reminding me of that, because the young settlers then got out on the streets and say, oh, we've got the answer. Come and live in the settlements, which again are illegal under international law. So they're trying to push that. And it said there's more settlement building going on by the day.
And during the peace process, the settlements has been doubled by population around Jerusalem and troubled in the West Bank, you see. So anybody want to make peace, a real peace between two neighbors sitting and negotiating, then they have to minimize these settlements how much they can, but not to double it or treble it. And then they said that they want peace at the end.
Thank you. We have just been to a service where we have talked about and heard about God who shelters us and we live under his protection. I would ask you, is that an insult to you? How would you feel? And how do you teach your children about a God who shelters us?
You know, all of us believe in God, you know. All of us are slaves for the God. And my kids, you know, trying all the time to say to them that to be good, not to be bad, you know. Especially this experience which they fall in, we are trying to say, no, there is another side which you can see coming and helping. Don't be, you know, don't let your anger killing you at the end. We don't want to do that. So I believe what happened to me, it's registered with the God before it happens to me. And I believe in that. And my kids believing in that. Because, you know, we are slaves. And what happened to us happened from the God. And I hope that maybe this, what happened to me, it's for the good of me, not for the bad of me. This is the God and can do the thing he wants, but we can't see only maybe a few meters in front of us, but the God maybe seeing after, saying all the world in a small looking, you know. So I believe in God, and my God, my kids believe in this, and I'm trying to let them continue all the time in this. Thank you.
My understanding of Palestinian-Israeli situation is limited because it's complicated, but I understand that America gives a lot of financial support to Israel. American economy is in a mess. Western economy is in a mess. Do you foresee a situation in the near future or the distant future where actually America won't be able to support Israel to the extent it does now, which of course will mean that Israel won't then be able to occupy necessarily because it won't have the finances to do so? So do you see a situation where the Palestinian situation might improve because the economic situation in the West actually goes down? So in a sense, things for us get worse and things for you get better. Can you see that happening?
Yeah, thank you. I don't see this is happening because, you know, it's not the Americans who's supporting the Israeli military establishments. It's the politicians which controlling, you know, the American people themselves, you know. From my view, the Americans are under occupation like us exactly, or more than us, you know. It's the AIPAC who's controlling America now. It's, you know, hundreds of people, hundreds of congressmen, hundreds of congressmen who's controlling the money, you know. They are giving to the Israel the money and, you know, give it for military, and their situation is very bad, but they are not caring about the Americans or America. They are caring about their chairs, which they are sitting on, and about the coalition, which they are in. If you want to add.
I have news.
American.
I have news for you. Yeah, this is a very big issue. The amount of support that goes from America into Israel. Okay, there are coalitions in America that are mobilizing more and more on this issue because of what's happening with American economy, and they're trying to get out to the public. Where are we spending our money? And, you know, get in that. Okay, in that, some of you see a poster that's here, okay? This is a poster that has been put on trams in California. Just the day before it came, last Thursday, trams appeared in California with this poster on, which reads, "Join with us, build peace with justice and equality." On the poster, you see Salim Sheremra and his grandson, Jeff Helper from the Israeli Committee Against House Demolitions, with his granddaughter, and U.S. military aid to Israel from the Build Peace Coalition. So, let's move it. It's a lesson to us. Think about how strategic we can be. That is really strategic in going amongst populations.
I don't want to ask a question. I just want to say that that wall will come down. One day that wall will come down.
Inshallah, inshallah. Thank you very much.
Okay, is there time for one more question? One more, just here. One question,
Thank you. Following on from that, it's about getting the message out, about getting people who are the decision makers to make those decisions. How do we do that? On local radio this morning, someone said the jury is still out on the British government as to which way it will go. What can we do? What can the politicians do to seal it?
And we've got something here you can do right now. We have got a former politician here. He wants to say something.
Thank you, Linda. Yes, I'm Martin Linton. I'm one of the people campaigning on this. I'm actually from Labour Friends of Palestine, but we also have ICAD and Jews for Justice for Palestinians, Liberal Democrats, in a campaign on this, because the UN vote will be next month on whether to admit Palestine, whether to recognize Palestine as a state and to admit it to the United Nations. If you want to send a message to the Israelis and the Israeli Defense Force from the international community, there is no more effective way of doing it than to recognize Palestine as a nation. It won't get rid of the occupation overnight, but it makes it clear to the Israelis that they are not simply a force occupying, they are invading their neighbor's territory and refusing to leave and trying to take it over. Now, there are two petitions that you can sign. There's one on government e-petitions. There's one on Avaaz. There will be some leaflets with the precise web address there. But there's another petition we want you to sign, which is actually not a petition for you. It's a petition for MPs. We've only got a couple of weeks before the vote, and the only effective way is to get your MP, to sign this petition in Parliament. In Parliament, a petition is called an early day motion. Never mind that. What you do is you give us your email and your postcode. We'll know from that who your MP is, whether you do or not. And then we'll email you a letter to send to your MP in time for them, him or her, to put his name on this parliamentary petition. As the questioner said, William Hague says he hasn't made up his mind yet how Britain is going to vote. The UK vote could be crucial, and the only way we can really influence it is getting MPs in large numbers to sign their early day motion to say to William Hague that UK should vote for Palestinian independence and for Palestinian membership. So please sign these, give us your email, give us your postcode, and sign the petitions as well, and then we can do our best in the next 2 weeks to send you the email so you can lobby your MP. Thank you.
Thank you. That is the number one thing to do. from this festival. Do that. Again, visit the Just Peace tent. Loads of resources. Salim will be there at 6:30 this evening so that you can have more discussion with him and ask more questions. Also, on the ICAD stall, we have this flyer, which is about lobbying your MP specifically on the issue of house demolitions. There's information here, and ICAD is preparing a special lobby pack. You will be able to download from your computer. Pick that up. Salim referred to going to help rebuild a Palestinian house, which you can do. But there are other ways you can connect with ICAD on the ground. If you did not get this leaflet, pick one up on your way out as well. If you're with another group, you can book to have dinner with Salim, and his wife will fix you a genuine Palestinian dish called maklouba, and you'll experience their hospitality and see we're there. Or participate in an in-depth study tour. I lead these under experience travel tours done in conjunction with ICAD. During them, you meet with people on both sides of the divide, and you are exposed to a range of voices and organizations, some quite extreme, but in the main, it's looking at what are the requirements for a just and sustainable solution for both people groups. So, please, please join with us. Green Belt is about giving you information and tools for effective actions. So we hope that through what you've been learning on this issue, you will go out and really join with us in this special campaign. Remember also that as well as having a chance to hear Salim at 6:30 in the Just Peace tent, at 9:30 he's in Centaur with a program Amos Trust are doing, and they'll be dancing and music and freedom for Palestine being played. But Salim will be there as well speaking. Well, I hope I've remembered everything. But mainly, thank you for coming. And thank you, Salim, for coming from Jerusalem.